As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
It's Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. It is a pleasure to welcome in the old-time Giants, great two-time Super Bowl champion, the wonderful Phil Simms, to break down some football for us and some draft and everything else. Phil, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
I can hear you great.
Because I can't hear myself. Well, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, there's a volume button. So just turn it up.
Well, why don't you guys?
Have you ever done TV before?
There you go.
Listen, Boomer.
What?
Just like it said in that little intro. Shut your ass. I mean, you just be quiet over there.
Hey, you know what? I appreciate you moving Friday's appearance to today. It means a lot to me. Thank you very much.
When I saw you on Wednesday, which was, I got to admit, it was funny as hell. Okay. I don't mean that you're sick. Yeah. Gio's going, Hoover, Hoover. And you're over there. Nothing's wrong with me.
He's fanning himself.
Fanning himself, and you could see the sweat dripping off
his nose.
This is no joke, man.
I know it's not. I'm not going to make fun of it, because if I make fun of it, I'll be sick tomorrow or whatever.
At our age, when you get sick, you got to take it seriously.
Yeah, I guess so. I haven't been sick in a long time. So
Now knock on wood. Now you're definitely jinxing it. You're touching the money.
Well, here. You walk by me and gee, I know. You go, I'm not sick. It's just
my
voice.
I don't have the flu. Listen, if I had the flu, I wouldn't be here, obviously. And I didn't. I did everything I needed to do this weekend. I had all the energy. I just got this voice thing. But everybody thinks I have the flu because you had the flu and you were hacking all over me.
I'm still hacking, too.
Yeah. Every time I look over there, he's...
I'm sorry, all right?
Don't be sorry.
Jesus.
Can't we have a little fun again?
You do, man. You just come in here, you attack, attack, attack. That's what I used to do on the floor. I used to yell, attack, attack, attack on the field.
Yeah, did it work?
Yes, it did work. It worked very well. Right. By the way, what did you think of this whole Aaron Rodgers situation and how he went about describing his last meeting with the Jets?
Okay. If the Jets do it over the phone, it would have been a controversy, right?
I guess so.
Now they did it so quickly in person, it's a controversy. I don't know. So neither way, it really doesn't bother me. If he's offended by it, that's his right, of course. And maybe the way they talked to him was a little condescending. I don't know. I haven't heard the whole conversation. I listened to what he had to say a little bit. But I would say I got to make this quick. And I said this last week to somebody, maybe my kids or my sons, whatever. But Aaron Rodgers, no decision yet, right?
Right.
What's he waiting on?
Well, he did talk extensively about something that's going on in his life.
Yeah.
Where someone is very sick in his inner circle. And he is not ready to commit to a team until that gets in a better place. That was his thing.
What do you think he's waiting on?
I think he's sitting there going, why would I want to go to Pittsburgh? Let's wait and see how the offseason goes, the start of training camp, preseason. Minnesota maybe is a little leery of their quarterback, and he's where he wants to be in Minnesota.
Well, I bet that'd be a good place for him.
To me, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And when I thought about it, he keeps delaying this thing with Pittsburgh. And Minnesota said, we're not interested because they're trying to give J.J. McCarthy all the hope that they can give him and put him in a good frame of mind. So,
yeah, and I do think so. I told Boomer for weeks that he wouldn't go to Minnesota because of what I thought his contract demands were going to be, what was being reported. But then Aaron Rodgers came out and said, I don't know where that stuff came from. I'll play for 10 M's, meaning $10 million. Yeah. So if that's the case, then he could still end up in Minnesota. But I have to take him at his word. I don't think that he would be using an illness in his inner circle to make an excuse for if he's going to play or not. I just can't. I got to take him at his word for that.
Yeah, sure.
And by the way, I'll push back on your thing about it. Would it be a controversy if it was over the phone? He did address that. He said, you know, of course an in-person meeting is better, but if it's going to go like that, that could be a phone call. You know, if you're just going to be like, boom, hey, yeah, you want to play football, we're moving in a different direction, that's a phone call. But to bring me all the way out here and to have that meeting, like he thought it was going to, he said, why wouldn't you pick my brain? Well, I thought I was going to be there for 2 hours. And I thought that there was a chance that we were going to move on, but I thought we could kind of have a full conversation.
Yeah.
You could see my perspective. Yeah.
Then you know what? Then I believe he is completely out of touch with reality, because the moment that Aaron Glenn got the job was the moment that he was going to be gone. There's no way that Aaron Glenn is going to have him in that meeting room, just like Aaron, or somebody said it to him, or somebody was talking about having him in the back of the room while Aaron Glenn's trying to get this whole young group of guys on the same page. It's not easy if there's a perceived lack of respect from the head coach.
Yeah, but see, I thought that was unfair as well, because what Aaron Rodgers said, so you don't know me, and now you've already got me undermining you in a meeting room. I mean, is that really fair?
Yeah, but that's Woody Johnson telling Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, I don't want him here because I'm telling you what he said on McAfee about Brick Johnson, his grand, you know, his son.
Right. Well, you know, I didn't hear him on Pat McAfee, so I didn't get all this information you're saying, Gio.
Yeah.
And you know, and I didn't even look it up because I just go, I don't care. I mean, I hate to say it. I don't care.
Can I ask you a question? Your last year for the Giants, you go to the Pro Bowl. You go to the Pro Bowl.
Right.
Did they pull you in and say that they were not re-signing you? Because I know you were dabbling with free agency with Cleveland, I think, at the time, right?
No, that was after the Giants cut me, that I dabbled with Cleveland.
Did they call you in and say that they were going to cut you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So who was it? Dan Reeves?
Dan Reeves was there. Yeah, Dan. It was really, I felt terrible for him. Because I walked in, now looking back, he was like, his face was gray. And he had this, and I sat down, and I was like, what's going on, coach? He goes, I got bad news. I'm not going to tell you what I said. I said, who died? And I put somebody's name to it. He goes, oh, no. We're letting you go. I said, damn, that's worse.
I didn't believe, but that's ultimately, how did that conversation go? I mean, it's not pleasant.
No, you know, the story is, and I'm not going to make long stories, I'm driving to the golf course on a Sunday to Ridgewood Country Club. I'm going to play golf. And who do you think? I'm driving down, and Chris Mortensen on the radio goes, something to look out for, the Giants and Phil Sims. I go, what the hell is he talking about? I mean, I was ready to go ask for a raise. Mm. We had a good year, went to the playoffs, won a game. I made the Pro Bowl, all that other stuff. And Dan Reeves is there playing golf. And I run into him. I said, Dan, I can't believe Chris Mortensen, I should have figured it out. Because his face, he kind of like didn't react to it, what it was said.
So you saw him at the day before that Sunday.
The day before.
And you knew you had a meeting with him in the office the next day?
No, I was down working out. And they said, Dan needs to see you in his office.
Oh, okay.
And I said, oh, well, he probably needs me to sign some footballs. He's a big autograph. You'll give him to charities. And, you know, since I walked in, now looking back, I go, the look on his face had that look like, Phil, you were in trouble. And, the true story, I'll never get into the details, but it could have worked out my way. I had chances to go to many teams, offer me more money than the Giants ever paid me. And I tell my wife, gosh, Diana, so-and-so, they offered me a great contract, and it's more than ever. And she goes, oh, good for you. We'll visit you on weekends. And you know how that goes. So guys that stay in hotels while their wives are somewhere, come on. It's just.
So let me ask you this question. When you got up and left from him, I mean, I guess it was a necessary conversation. It was a face-to-face, man-to-man conversation.
Yeah, it was quick. And Dan, you know, listen, Dan Reeves and I had an unbelievable relationship. It wasn't good. It was great.
So was it his call or was it?
Oh, no. It came from the general manager, George Young. And it was going to be the first year of the salary cap the following year. And they were worried. And we had a first-round quarterback sitting behind me, Dave Brown.
Yep.
And I think they just said, this is the time to do it. And it's funny. I'm on the field throwing the ball and going, damn, I'm throwing the ball really well. I'm like, this, I feel good. And they call me in there. But you know what? I think of it this way. I would have played two more years probably, at least. And I would have been in trouble physically. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
I have enough stuff going on. And that would have just made it worse.
But the point being is that those conversations happen.
Yeah,
they happen. And sometimes they happen through the agent. Sometimes they bring in you because of your success as the Giant quarterback and a Super Bowl winner and a Super Bowl MVP. That they did it the right way, which way you do it, it never goes over well.
There's a lot to it, of course. But like I said, I think looking back and as every year goes by, I'm saying, oh, man, thank God I didn't play two more years.
And you had a very awkward end to your Jets career.
I did, yes. I 3 years with the Jets, and then they have the United Way dinner. And so my last official, I guess, requirement as a Jet, I was the United Way Man of the Year honoree that year. So I had to go to the United Way dinner. You know, it was at the Plaza, I think it was. I forget where it was. And I'm up there receiving this award on behalf of the New York Jets and everything else. And the Jets have a table at the dinner. And Leon Hess is sitting there. Richie Kotite's sitting there. I think Pat Kerwin was sitting. Everybody was sitting there.
Right.
And they all knew that I was not going to be the quarterback next year. They all knew it. I knew it.
Oh, you knew.
And okay. I kind of knew, yeah. Because the next day, they announced the signing of Neil O'Donnell as a free agent.
Mm.
So I knew that was the end of it for me. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have any conversations. There were no, sit-downs or any of that stuff. It was just you're out of here. This new guy's in here the next day.
But, you know, I'll just say this publicly. I don't know if I've ever said it, but it doesn't matter. It's not a big deal now. But Wellington Mara came in and said he didn't know. So he was caught off guard, too. That was the first he knew when I found out, I think. And he said, nope, you're going to play here next year. You're going to stay. I'm going to fire everybody else.
Wow.
I'm not going to tell you who he was going to fire, but he was going to fire people. And I said, oh, don't do that.
Yeah.
It just will be a disaster and whatever. So I talked him out of it. Not that it took a lot of talking, but he was willing to fire people. If I wanted to play, he was going to let me.
Well, that's wild.
Wow. Isn't that great?
Yeah, no, that is great. But it's wild to me that we're talking about a franchise legend, Super Bowl champion.
Not about a legend.
No, but seriously. And then they don't run that decision by the owner?
Don't call him a legend, because now it gets gets all into himself and everything.
Oh, yeah. Wait, did you hear that coming from Boomer?
Yeah, I know. It gets all into himself. Kettle spot. Yeah. But, I mean, that they we're going to release Phil Sims doesn't get to Wellington Mara?
So, but the point being is that George Young was appointed by the NFL to run the Giants. Am I right?
Yeah, he was. My first year, I was his first draft pick.
You were his first draft pick, yeah. And he ultimately decided to let you go because of Dave Brown.
Well, the salary cap was the biggest reason.
I know
reason.
The salary cap was a big deal because I was in the middle of all that stuff as well. But all I know is that the guy that drafted you was ultimately the guy because of the salary cap and because they had a younger quarterback that they took in the supplemental. Wasn't he a supplemental?
Yeah, he was supplemental, first round.
Right, so they just figured they had to move on.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah.
And everything. And, you know, I haven't said a lot about it. I was never really bitter. I think my wife, when I came home and said to you, won't believe what happened today. And she goes, I won't even tell you what she said. And I said, no, they cut me. And she goes, what? And to this day, she goes, you could have played two more years. I go, damn, what do you want me to be crippled?
Yeah. That's an interesting take because I feel like a lot of guys wouldn't say that. Would say, man, I had two more years in me, and I regret not playing. But you're saying that was actually the best decision for me.
Probably so, yeah. I mean, you know, as you get done, I think, Gio, I'm sure you had some injuries growing up in some way.
Of course.
Okay, do they bother you at all now? Or
yes, they do.
And as I got older, I feel them more and more. Like, I did something recently, and they wanted me to throw footballs. I said, I haven't thrown a football overhand in at least 10 to 15 years.
Wow.
Because I had many shoulder separations and, you know, pitched baseball, you know, even during my college career. And so, man, that arm went through a lot of stuff.
It certainly did.
So throwing overhand, so that was just part of what maybe saved me too, for, you know, in that respect.
Soft.
Right. But no, yeah, but the balance of nature. They wanted me to throw, I did a new commercial, you'll have fun with it.
Oh, God.
And they wanted me to throw. So I said, you know, I don't do this, but I sucked it up and threw some overhand. And I actually go, damn, I'm throwing it pretty good.
Wow, you so it felt good.
Yeah, it did feel good. And I threw them underhanded. And I always tell people, I'll bet you anything I could throw it underhanded, probably better than you can throw it overhanded.
Oh, I'm sure. Listen, I'm not doubting you on that one.
No?
For God's sakes.
Well, you're supposed to bite on it. Like,
I'm not. I can't do that.
No, I've seen it, so I know exactly what he's talking
about. Well, they're
going
to use it in the commercial. It's hilarious.
Have you seen the commercial?
I've seen what they're going to probably use. So the one overhand throw and one really good underhanded throw. Isn't that terrible? My achievement in life is I could throw the ball underhand.
Holy Christ.
Yeah,
your achievement in life is you're still making money at your age.
No, I'm not, but that's a different
story,
too. Yeah, you are,
man. You're on commercials, national commercials, and everything else.
Yeah, I do it for free.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
We have lots to talk about. We're not going to get into the draft just yet. We'll have another segment for that. But just before we take our first break, the Giants with the veterans that they signed this year, Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston. What's your take on those two guys?
I thought they were good signings for both of them. They got them at the right price. And look, the Giants somewhere, we'll go into what's going on with them in this offseason, where they had great plans for the quarterback and how they're going to do it. And everything they look and they think they got it, it falls apart. You know, Matt Stafford, oh, God, this is going to be great transition. We get the guy, goes away. You know, Aaron Rodgers, I think they wanted Aaron Rodgers. Nobody told me that, but nope, that went away. And now the draft, and we'll talk about it as we go with these quarterbacks, how it's changed, where they were really on top of it, but the landscape changed on them, and here they are again fighting to maybe get a guy wherever they get it, which we'll talk about where that I think it will be, too.
It's amazing how the landscape has changed, and it has changed significantly just in the last 4 weeks.
I mean, it's just like if it can go wrong, it's going wrong for this quarterback situation with the Giants.
Yeah, feels like that's been going on for years now, too. All right, just getting started with Phil Sims. We'll get a Jerry Recco update coming up in just a little bit.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Phil Sims in studio this morning. Jerry Recco is still going to give us his update, though, with so much going on. What's up, Jerry?
All right, well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Phil. We are brought to you by Flag and Anthem, real close for real life. Last hour, we opened with the Yankees. We'll open with the Mets this hour because I got something Al-related, actually, that relates to the Mets, if you can actually believe that. But let's start with the game yesterday first as they beat the Cardinals and completed the sweep. Started nicely.
Here's the 2-1. Swing and a high fly ball. Well hit to right. Walker going back onto the track. There she goes. Home run once again into the Coca-Cola corner for Francisco Lindor.
Who, as Al says, is very sexual with the hair.
What?
Sexual?
What does that mean?
I was saw that from KFC Barstool in particular, but then a lot of talk about how sexy his hair looked afterwards. It was kind of bouncing all over the place, slow motion, two home
KFC
runs.
KFC Barstool said that his hair was sexy.
I believe he's the one who found it sexual, yes.
Sexual?
Yeah.
I feel like you second that motion, though.
Yeah, I kind of saw what he was talking about.
But like in what way, though? Just because it's flowing and...
It's fluffy. It's got an air about it.
It's kind of like Phil's hair this morning. Fluffy, got an air about it.
I think his hair looks great.
Thank you, bud.
Yeah.
So does Boomer's. Boomer, your hair looks good. What'd you dye it? Look how blonde it is. Or is that's just gray?
You guys can't help each other.
Say one nice thing about you.
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay.
you know me. That nice stuff, I hate it.
Yeah, I know you do.
Just go for it.
Yep. I got you.
The Mets win 7-4. Here is the very sexy Lindor. Great weekend. Great game.
I mean, today was fun for sure. But we can't go without talking about what Acuña's doing down there. Torrens coming in late in the game and walking. But yeah, the top four guys, when we are on and we're clicking, it's gonna be fun.
Of course, Soto and Alonso doing what they're doing. Tyrone Taylor doubled. So all was good. Soto, by the way, 2-for-3 with the 2-1
Brandon Nimmo
came
through, man. That was good.
Finally, snapped the
Off of Phil Maton.
How about that?
Yeah, how about that?
Now, here's where the bad news from Al comes into play. So we know Al has a dog that he has had some regrets about getting. Well, he's had regrets. So here's Gary Cohen on SNY as he was talking about the expectation when they got their dog. Now, it was a Great Dane. Al has a greyhound, but still, you'll get the point in a second as he was on SNY yesterday.
You know, Great Danes are only supposed to live 6 to 8 years.
And so, as he would then go on to tell us, 6 to 8 years. Listen to what this turned into, Al.
Well, I want to thank you guys and Steve for doing such a great job covering for me on Friday night. It was a rough day for my wife, Lynn, and I. We had to say goodbye to our beloved Lily, who passed away at the age of 13.
Did you see his face?
Wow, that's amazing.
13.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's they raised that dog right. They gave that dog a lot of love, and that dog never wanted to leave. That's what that is.
Maybe that'll be your luck.
I do. Listen, I smooch that dog a lot. I hug her.
Yeah, you always complain about it, but
I do. Yep.
So wait. So Al, he's complaining about his dog.
Right. Yeah. So he rescued a dog during COVID because he needed companionship.
Okay.
And it was a greyhound. So it was a racing dog.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
A little offense to that comment.
And her name is Whimsy. And Whimsy actually looks like Al.
The dog's got to have better legs than Al.
No.
Skinny and neurotic, just like Al.
And if you, Boomer's right, if you put up a side-by-side of the two, they look related.
They do, okay, yeah. they do
I'm sure related. Stephen Waldron has a side-by-side picture. He'll put up for you to see it, and it's amazing how the dog and he...
Right, there's Whimsy right there.
Oh, see? Well, very cute dog.
Yeah. Deer-like, you know?
Oh, man, that's great. And what's that? Wait, so Al's complaining about the dog?
Yeah.
I just think he doesn't want it to go past its life expectancy.
Well, Al doesn't have a backyard where Whimsy can just go out, so Al has to walk her, you know, many times a day, and then she gets him up on the weekends at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, so it just ruins his entire life.
And the social media love that he gets from having a dog only goes so far.
Yeah, that has worn off.
Yeah. Bring that dog to my house.
Oh, there you go.
I'll take care of it.
She could run around with the deer and the fox and all that stuff.
By the way, be careful what you ask for.
Drop that thing off this afternoon.
Yeah. Yeah, seriously.
I said tomorrow. You said a few hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. You think Whimsy, because you've had Whimsy so cooped up for 5 years now, there's no way that she would be able to, like, get used to what
Phil's... She would love it up by Phil Sims'
house. You think so?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You think she still has it in her to chase, like, animals and things of that nature?
No, she does not chase animals anymore, but she would love to just graze on the Phil Sims grass and
She's whatever. A dog. The dogs don't graze.
She eats the raw food like Phil's feeding the foxes. She would fit right in up there.
Had a big gathering yesterday at the house, Al. Cooked a lot of steak, fish. We had all that stuff. And my wife, we had about, I'm going to say, 6 or 8 pounds of steak left over. And
six
I said,
to
oh,
eight pounds.
It was a lot.
What the hell are you doing?
Well, we had a big party or whatever. It's Easter.
All right.
And the fox got it all. She
no
took it
leftovers
all out
for you?
She took it all out there.
Wow.
So then do they come back then every day looking for
every day? When I yell, they come up.
Really?
Yeah, every day. Wow. I go out and you heard it. I've done it. You guys make fun of it.
There you go. There he is. He's out there.
When I do that.
Time out. That's really him?
Yes. Yeah.
Him.
Yeah.
And I walk back in the house, and within 5 minutes, the fox or foxes are sitting there looking at the door like, where the hell are you? Bring it out. We're hungry.
Wow. Now, did you learn how to fox call, or you just decided that was going to be the thing that got their attention?
I made it up, yeah.
Wow.
That is just... He's like a Marlon Perkins.
Yeah, right. You
know? I don't know that reference.
That's Mutual's Omaha or whatever.
Yeah. Wild Kingdom.
And who was the guy, Marlon Perkins, would always stand there, and Jim is down there wrestling an alligator. As we sit here, let's talk about Mutual of Omaha or whatever.
Right, exactly. So it feels like Marlon Perkins. Franklin Lakes.
Wow. Yeah, that's great.
So you want the dog or not?
Well, no, I'm just saying it. Of course, I don't want it.
I'm just making sure.
Neither does Al.
We got enough animals.
All right. Well, anyway, condolences to to Gary Cohen as well. Right. So he was out Friday and missed a hell of an exciting finish.
Yes, he did.
So I'll let you hear Steve Gelbs tell me how you think he did when Francisco Lindor did this, leading off the ninth.
Fly ball! That should do it! A bird deck! It's gone! Francisco
And there you go. And they
he
beat
did a good job. There you go.
Very good. He'll be going to Super Bowl in 6 years, too.
Well, maybe. You never know. Anyhow, the Mets in first place in the NL East will take on the Phillies tonight. 880 Mets Odyssey Radio has it coverage at 6:30. Tyler McGill and Aaron Nola, the starters there. As for the Yankees, can't talk about this game without discussing the Thrivewell player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion. His name is one Max Fried.
1-1 pitch, swung on and hit to right center field. Easy play for Bellinger. To the eighth inning we go. Max Fried, 7 no-hit innings.
That's when things got a little goofy, but that is our Yankees thriving player of the game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. He wound up going 7 2/3, gave up a couple of hits. That no-hit bid was ended prior to him taking the mound in the eighth because the official score reversed course on a ground ball to Paul Goldschmidt that was not handled in the sixth inning. Initially called an error, then changed to a base hit, but then was it Mangum, whoever it was, wound up getting the hit in the eighth anyhow, but it was kind of goofy. That having been said, here was Fried going out and getting the job done, and the Yankees winning again.
I'm just trying to be myself. I just want to be able to, when I take the ball, to be able to make sure that, you know, we're in a really good chance to win to that day. And, you know, when I prep, I just want to make sure that I'm leaving everything out there, no matter how I feel or what the circumstances are. And then, you know, if we come out to win, that's really all I care
Nobody
about.
Nobody complaining about this free agent signing.
No, he's been great.
He has fit right in.
Yep.
Cody Bellinger's been good. He homered, drove in two. Austin Wells and Trent Grisham both had home runs. Look like Aaron Judge had a home
Grisham,
run.
Trent Grisham, man. Jesus.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Where would they be without Trent Grisham?
Eh, you know, maybe a couple losses.
Yeah,
probably still 13 close to first
and 9
place.
Instead of 14 and 8.
Okay.
But
he's had his moments.
Judge's shot down the left field line was ruled foul. Replay certainly made it look fair, but they did not change it. Aaron Boone got ejected after he was then struck out. Yankees in Cleveland tonight with Clark Schmidt making the star coverage on the Fan at 5:30. Also, the Padres beat the Astros 3-2, but as we mentioned last hour, Luis Arraez did leave early with this play.
Arraez, there's a bunt to the first baseman. Walker flips, and look out, a collision between Arraez, who's down, and Mauricio Dubon.
Yeah, they collided as he was crossing for, or I guess arriving at first base. They wound up taking him to the hospital, but as it turned out, no fractures, but a laceration on his jaw. Fernando Tatis Jr. did have the go-ahead homer in the seventh, so Arraez okay, but I would imagine he'll miss some time. But they did win that game 3-2 in Houston. All right, we get to the Knicks. You got game two tonight, Knicks and Pistons, Madison Square Garden. Campaign had that spurt that was pretty fun to watch on Saturday. Here he was. Now, he played for Philly last year. Now he's in a Knick uniform. This was pretty cool.
Oh, man, it's fun. Hell of an atmosphere. I was on the opponent on the opposing side last year. It was tough. It was loud as shit in here. But being on the flip side of it, man, felt good.
Now, the guy on the flip side of it this year is Cade Cunningham going through it for the first time. And, yeah, that was something for sure. That 21-0 run was wild.
Definitely a learning experience. Something that I've never done before, I've never been a part of. But also, I didn't treat it like a different game. I would try to approach it like a regular game, read what the defense gives me and exploit that.
Well, there you if they don't stop Cameron Payne and Karl Anthony Towns, and good luck to them not getting swept. Game two will be
Jalen
tonight.
Brunson, too, for that matter.
Brunson as well.
Got off to a slow start. But
Towns made some ridiculous
shots,
though, Saturday.
He did. But you know what was really also nice in the fourth quarter? How many layups they had.
Yeah.
I mean, they were passing the ball, and guys were open underneath the basket, and they were making layups.
That one in particular.
That was a great shot.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Yeah, the ball wasn't sticking, as they say.
No.
Warriors beat the Rockets 95-85. Steph Curry had 31. The Cavaliers played the Heat game one of their series and went pretty much the way you would have thought. Donovan Mitchell was big. Darius Garland was big. And so was another guy.
Jerome, long three. Good! Ty Jerome with a smile as wide as East 9th Street.
That was Cavs radio. He came off the bench and scored 28 points. So those three combined almost 90 points of the 121, whatever that turns out to be, 85 points, as they win 121-100. Mitchell played great. Celtics beat the Magic 103-86. How about Derek White leading the way for Boston?
Drew Holiday here to the front court. Hand off Derek White. Pretty good look. Left side three. Score it. Ooh. And the foul.
Yeah, four-point play for Derek White. He had 30 on the night as the Celtics beat the Magic 103-86. Jason Tatum, 17 points, 14 rebounds.
That's got to be a sweep.
I would be shocked unless they decided to just take a night off.
Like, screw it.
Which they could.
Yeah.
The NBA tells them, let's try to extend it a little bit more.
Maybe. But there are issues with people watching their product. They might.
Yeah.
Well, the Knick game helped Saturday, for sure. And then the Lakers looked terrible in the second half the other night as
Oh, my gosh. You know, listen, I don't watch a lot of basketball during the year, but I watch this playoff stuff, and I want to watch every night.
You know, Knicks,
you know, they're not Knicks, everybody.
It's just, but they're competing now.
The game is, it's so different. My gosh, I really enjoyed watching it the last couple days.
Yeah, definitely a different game. The Thunder, well, this wasn't so great. The Thunder 131, the Grizzlies 80. So, yeah, fifth largest margin of victory or defeat.
No grenades last night from John Robert.
No
grenades.
Just bricks.
No, I think
just
he's bricks, right. I think he was 5 of 17 shoes, something like that. It was terrible. Yeah. Oklahoma City had 6 players in double figures. And then the Devils open up their playoff series with the Hurricanes, and it did not go well for Jersey.
Here's Martinuk trying to feed one in front. He sure got a piece. Martinuk taps it again. They score! Martinuk foul. Logan Stankoven, a turnover or a takeaway. Either way, it's 2-0.
You know what? You know what it is? I think I speak for all tri-state area hockey fans when I say this.
Shut the f*** up, you f***head devil fan.
Oh, my gosh.
You know where that was from?
No, what?
That was from Boomer and Geo 1.
Boomer and Geo Live 1, yeah.
Oh, okay. And who was that yelling? Was that you?
That was me, yeah. Yelling at Devils fans because they're yelling at me because I had did I wear a Ranger jersey that night?
I think you did.
Yeah you did. You wore a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were in a different
mood. What I was going to say in regards to Tri-State Devil fan, hockey fans is that we all know that the Hurricanes are a pain in the ass.
Yeah, they're good. Against.
Yep. And why can't our teams play that way? Yeah, I don't understand that.
They're not as good.
They are, Phil.
Jerry,
you are.
That night, I'm driving down to the event, and, you know, big boy over there gives me a call, and he's slurring on the phone. Make sure you get a couple drinks in you before you get here. I'm already there.
I mean, that was Good Friday. I got there early. There's no traffic
you
in
got
the
where,
Holland.
You got where early?
I got to the theater early because there was no traffic in the Holland Tunnel that night.
So you said, well, I'll just drink the whole time. Okay.
Well, Gio forced me.
Sure I did. Yeah, blame it on me.
Personal responsibility. You were sitting right next to me.
Yeah, okay.
But I didn't go that overboard. I finished the show without you.
Right, you left.
I finished the meet and greet without you.
Yeah, I know. You're awesome.
No, he was present.
I turned around once and saw him, and I didn't know it was him.
Gio, you mean?
Yes,
in his tight leather pants.
Because he had that leather outfit, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Gio.
Yep, that's right.
No, you did a good job.
I think you yelled at Al, too, that night.
That was some look.
Who yelled at Al?
Phil yelled at Al that night.
I could see that.
Why not?
I wouldn't yell at Al.
Yeah, you would. So Boomer had a cold sore that night. And before we go out on the stage, I swear to God, he kisses me on my cheek with that cold sore. So I took the Casamigos in the bottle. I just started rubbing my face.
Oh, my God.
To get the alcohol off it. I was like, what the hell is this guy going to give me?
Oh, God.
It was something else.
Oh, man. So, the Devils down 1-0. Game 2 tomorrow night at Carolina. Rangers fired Peter Laviolette over the weekend. And Justin Thomas, your winner at the RBC Heritage.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We got Phil Simms in studio with us. You said you wanted me to read something.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't want you to read it on the air.
I thought you said when we come back, you wanted me to read something.
Well, you were leaving to go out, and I don't know what the hell you were doing. Sorry, you can read it later.
I got confused. Because you said, when we come back, I want you to read something. I didn't realize it was an off-the-air thing. I apologize. Okay.
You know what he wanted you to read was a scouting report on one of his players that he's been studying.
Oh, okay. No, I got them all. I got a scouting report on every one of them.
Yeah, I know you do.
All right, so this is what I want to know. First, two-part question. What do you think the Giants should do? And then the second part, after you answer that, what do you think they will do? What do you want them to do, and what do you think they will do? So first, what do you want him to do?
I want him, if Abdul Carter is there, I want him to take him.
Okay.
Yep. And everybody goes, well, the Giant D-line's good as it is. Well, why not make it one of the best in the NFL? How'd it work out for Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah. How'd it work out for the Giants in 2007?
Well, right? Well, it goes to that. You know, draft, you can draft to the strength of your team. The Giants, when they won
the one Super Bowl, they have this great defensive line, and who they draft in the first round? Kiwanuka from
Boston College.
Yeah. And even our team, I'll never forget, I'm watching the draft. We have a great linebacking core, right? And we're, here comes our pick, Carl Banks. Like, what the hell? Can't we pick a receiver? Somebody we added to the strength. And, of course, as time went on, we saw Carl Banks is a Hall of Famer, for real. He really is. He was really a special player, and that changed our football team. So I kind of feel the same way about Abdul Carter. Now, the worries about him, he is small, and he looks small in college. So what's he going to look like? Now, the big thing is you're judging him against professional tackles, because I just watched the games where he's playing the best guys, the best teams, and in those games, he played Ohio State. That was one. They have, you know, a set of tackles that are really good. And he was blowing by him like nobody was there.
I mean, he's fast. There's no question about that.
And he can do it all.
And he's sudden. The other thing you have to take into account is that Kayvon Thibodeau is going into the last year of his contract.
I think that's a big thing, too. Yes.
So, you know, maybe Kayvon would be incentivized to have a great season. And if he has a great season, I don't see the Giants paying him what you would normally pay a edge rusher.
Right.
I could see him moving on. So this is something that you would draft somebody like this in order to replace him eventually.
Yeah, no doubt.
That also goes into the thinking here, I think, if you are the Giants. But I think Gio asked the question right. Yeah. So that's what they should do. Do we think that's what they're going to do if he's there?
All right, first off, they did these workouts with the quarterbacks. And, you know, I don't try to butt in anybody's business down at the Giant facility. But I did call Colorado the day the workout was over. Because I knew nobody was really happy about his pro day because it was quick, too careful. You know, the pro day is a home run hitting contest.
Yeah.
Go out there and let it go. And I would say the same. Even when I was coming out, I did all these pro days at Morehead State. And I go, Coach, what do you want to see? And it's all said the same thing except one guy. I want you to let it go. I said, all right. That makes it pretty easy.
I can do that.
Now,
yeah.
Bill Walsh, after I threw about 10 passes for him, he stopped me. He goes, what are you doing? I go, isn't this what you want to see? No, I want it to be pretty. I want the ball to flow through the air. It was great.
Accuracy, catchable ball.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, listen.
On time.
Yeah, he had to suffer with Joe Montana, so that worked out pretty damn well.
It did.
But, you know, just to go. So I asked some people in Colorado. I said, tell me the truth. How did they said, Shador let it go. He was spinning it, driving it. They were so happy because they knew the pro day
wasn't
great, even though everybody tried to make it like it was great. It wasn't. I watched it live and I watched it again on tape and I was like, damn, show me more. So but to answer your question, I don't know. They could take a quarterback at three. I don't think they will with the third pick.
No way.
And I don't know when you make that decision, Gio. It just would be something I'm throwing out there for no reason at all. I don't know. I think Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, and Shador Sanders are all very close. And I mean really close. I won't complain no matter which one they take if they get one of those three.
Really? Where do you think that Jackson Dart and Tyler Shuck will go? Do you think that they're going to end up in the first round as well?
Maybe one. I can't see all three. I can see two of them maybe getting in there. But, you know, everybody, the Giants, the Cleveland Browns, everybody talks about the top of the second. Well, there's not going to be enough guys for all the teams to keep talking about getting a quarterback at the top of the second.
You know,
this Tyler Shuck, let me just say.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of pub, and rightly so. And I've watched him a lot. And Lewis Riddick, who, you know, kind of knows, he was a GM in the NFL, or what was he, Boone? What was his title?
Scouting director.
Scouting director,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. But he did the games in person for Louisville in the ACC. So he saw him, and I saw E.J. Manuel, who's an ACC guy doing the shows, and he had a different take on it, too, and that kind of makes you think. He's quicker than the other two. He runs better than the other two. His arm is every bit, I would say it's a little bit above the other two. And so that's a lot.
Plus, he's going to be 26 years old.
Which I don't care. Everybody keeps going, oh, he's going to be 26. Well, what the hell? Oh, well, we want him for the next 10 or 15. I get so sick of hearing that.
Give me another 8 years. I'll take him for 8 years.
If you get him for 8 years, yes. That means you've won a lot of games. You're winning playoff games.
And plus, he's probably ready to play a little bit earlier than the other guys because he's older and he's been around and he's played a lot of football.
Hey, look, I went back and watched him at Texas Tech, and Ah, damn. Man, boy, he looked good. I said hot damn. I didn't say that.
That's okay. Hot damn.
All right. That's why I went to church yesterday and I saw the father. I said, Father, hope the church doesn't burn. I'm coming in.
holy water evaporates when you walk in there.
But, you know, I don't know where I lost my train of thought a little bit.
But we were talking about Tyler Shuck and how good he looked. And whether or not any, you know, the first round should have three quarterbacks taken. You know, and then the other question is the wild card one, and that's the Jalen Milroe question.
Yeah.
Where at one point in time, I remember coming in earlier in the college football season, I said, this athlete at Alabama is so sudden and so good. Now, he was playing against some, you know, bad talent early on, and he was dominating games. And then all of a sudden, later on the season, he kind of dipped a little bit. And for whatever reason, I just have this sneaking suspicion that how I believe he's going to end up with the Giants somewhere. I don't know if it's in the second round, the third round. Who knows where it's going to end up? But
I think you said it right. He could go in the third round. He's going to go to the draft, but I don't think he's worried about it. You know, he's just going to show his face. He's confident and everything like that. And I said to you, Gio, you don't sit him on the bench and work with him. You put him in there and let him run the football. Throw
but not
some
as
easy.
The quarterback.
As a quarterback.
Oh, really?
Wow. Sure.
I could Taysom Hill type.
Yeah, that's who it is, on steroids. I mean, come on. He's faster than Taysom Hill. He's got an explosive arm, and you can work him in, and you want to put him in the game plan. That really is, you hear this a lot, but it's real for him in the NFL. Look at him there.
I mean, is there a comp that you have in the NFL? Is this like Anthony Richardson coming into the NFL? Is he similar to that?
Well, I think he's more explosive than Anthony
more
Richardson.
More explosive.
Yeah, just straight ahead speed, I think he is. And I like his throw. You know, I hate to always do these things. I like his throwing motion a lot more than I liked Anthony Richardson's coming out in the draft. But let me finish here.
Yep.
I think overall in this whole process, there's many things. I think the Giants wanted to be Shador. That's just me. Nobody's told me that. I don't ask. But as this thing has gone on, they see it's a little more clustered than I think they expected. And don't forget, they try to go out and get Matt Stafford, boom.
Yeah.
A-Rod, boom. You know, everything. And look at it this way, too. When the new general manager, how do you say his name down in Tennessee? Borgi or?
Borgonzi.
Borgonzi, that's right. Yeah, how can I forget that? When he took over the team, they need a lot down in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. You can't look at one area and say they're good. And all of a sudden, he's going to take the best player or the athlete or whatever. And then they start looking at Cam Ward. They go, man, hell, he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And the next thing you know, I think the Giants and all these teams in Cleveland would want to trade. We're going to try to trade up for Cam Ward. And then when the new general manager got in there, looked at the team, studied Cam Ward, and they go, we got to take him.
And Borgonzi came from Kansas City, so he knows Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes, but he knows what a great quarterback looks like.
Saying he's going to be Patrick Mahomes is not far off base.
Wow. Okay? You know, one other thing I just want to say before we go to break is in regards to Shador Sanders.
Right.
He does have something that Patrick Mahomes had, and that is a dad that was a professional athlete.
No doubt.
Meaning that he's been around the expectation part of it. He's been around, I expect to do this. I expect to be a success. And everywhere he's went with his dad as a coach, he's been a success. Why wouldn't the NFL think that would not transfer to the pro game?
Well, we'll get Phil's answer coming up next.